How serious a threat is China to the United States today? Also, how has China become the threat that it is? It's a communist country. Just several decades ago, it was basically a country of rice paddies. And how has it become a superpower? Let's take a look. Hello, everybody. This is Gary Benoit, your host for Beyond the Cover. And we have with us today William F. Jasper, senior editor for the New American Magazine, who in the December 13 issue wrote the cover story, China's Tech War. Bill, we're glad to have you with us.
Thank you, Gary. Pleasure being here.
So, Bill, if we were to get into a war with China, which seems to be a distinct possibility, particularly with what's happening with Taiwan, how big a threat do you think China would be to the United States?
Well, that's a very good question. And some very important things have been happening just in the last few weeks and months, and just in the last few days, that really should call all of our military strategists into session, because as we point out in the four articles that we have in this issue of the magazine about China, is they have been jumping ahead by leaps and bounds, actually leapfrogging over us on many of the important weapons of the future that they have now. And the real big issue that we have focused on in this magazine is the fact that all of these advances that are so startling, and in fact, like the hypersonic missile threat, which our chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff said our intelligence agencies completely missed. And we get comments from these top military strategists saying, this is stunning, or this is unbelievable. All of these advances that seem to have our military and intelligence people all completely clueless have come about because of transfers of technology and know-how from the United States, which is still the center of gravity and is still the area from where all of the major innovations are coming. But we have, through our policies, been allowing our politicians and our bureaucrats to send over this state-of-the-art technology to China, which they are now turning into weaponized forms, and that could come back to harm us in very serious ways.
Is it fair to say, Bill, that in certain areas that China's military capabilities, particularly having to do with space, are better than the capabilities that the U.S. military possesses?
Well, I had to do a crash course on this. We've been writing about these technology transfers in the New American for over four decades, and in Republican and Democratic administrations, and have been condemning this, and have been highlighting those congressmen and those technical experts that have been trying to put a damper on this, because it's obviously suicidal, giving a totalitarian, mass murdering regime our state-of-the-art technology is treasonous. It's the T word, treasonous, because it's treasonous not only against the American people, who our military and industrial complex is supposed to be defending us, but it's really treason against the whole world, because China is a threat to the peace, security, and prosperity and liberty of the whole world. But right now, it's very hard to evaluate how much of this technology, even with these hypersonic missiles that they have tested. Now, the hypersonic missile is a huge threat. A number of our top military people say we have no way of defending ourselves against it. Hypersonic means they are five or more times faster than the speed of sound. And some of the ones they've tested apparently are nine times the speed of sound. And they are different in a number of ways. They have tested those that can go so-called nap of the earth, like a cruise missile, not far off the surface. And that presents a very dangerous problem. But they also can go orbital. And in the one of the ones which they tested in August, according to General Hyten, it circled the earth in orbit and then dropped a hyperspeed glide vehicle down out of orbit and hit a target that it was prearranged in China. So that could truly be, as General Panaro said, a game changer because we have no way of defending ourselves against that. And as a number of the experts that we quoted in our articles pointed out, the only way to defend against something like that, to have advanced warning, is through satellites. And that's enough because satellites can look down and hopefully determine what this object is that is flying at hypersonic speed and what its trajectory is and what its potential targets might be. And in a timely fashion, hopefully, alert defenses. But at the same time, China is moving ahead very rapidly with its anti-satellite weapons. And so, if they knock out our satellites, then of course we would be defenseless. And again, the real important point of our articles is that even this capability, all of its space capabilities and whatnot, have come about through transfer of technology. And even today, with their supercomputers, one of the other things we mention in our articles is that all of this is impossible without the use of supercomputers. There are thousands, even millions of calculations that have to be made in the design, production, and testing of all of these components and of the missiles themselves. And the Chinese Communist Party, which runs China, has stifled innovation there so much, as communist governments always do, that they have been unable to keep up with the changes in supercomputer technology. So, how is it that just this year, China beat the world to exascale? Exascale is a billion trillion calculations per second. They're the
Wow.
first ones to. They did it twice this year. And yet they still don't have the capability of manufacturing the super chips necessary to accomplish that. So how did they do it? They did it with help from NVIDIA, from Intel, from Cadence, from Synopsys, all American super chip manufacturers. We have provided them with the technology to achieve these new milestones, which are enabling them to endanger the whole world and to hold us hostage in many ways. So the emphasis here has to be on stopping this transfusion, constant transfusion, to a totalitarian dictatorship. And this shouldn't be a hard decision to make. And that is one of the reasons why, in my opinion, Donald Trump ran into so much flack and hatred from not just from communist China, but from all of the big Red China lobby here in the United States, all of the big companies, the big media, the big tech. And the politicians that are beholden to China and who are trying to make it into the new leader, as George Soros says, to own the new world order. So we have a number of very wrong-headed and misguided efforts to supposedly deal with this problem of China's continuous breaking of new records and of achieving new milestones in technology. And so this year, the Senator Chuck Schumer in the Senate, Nancy Pelosi in the House, and their colleagues have put forward a bill which passed the Senate, It's called the American, what is it? Innovation and Competition, U.S. Innovation and Competition Act. It's Senate Bill S-1260, and it has its counterpart in the House. It passed the Senate with 62 votes, 68 votes to 32 opposed to it, with Republicans and Democrats voting for it. And this Schumer bill calls for $250 billion spent by the federal government to advance our competition and innovation against China because of the China threat. But I submit to you that this not only would be wasted money when you have the government dictating how this money is going to be spent, but we could spend $1 trillion, and if we continue to give China all of the benefits of our research, it will be for naught.
It might seem counterintuitive to our viewers, Bill, regarding what you said about these technology transfers, is that China, as you pointed out, in certain areas such as the supercomputers and also these hypersonic missile tests, they're actually ahead of the United States. So if they're using in that American technology to do this, why wouldn't we have done the same things? With the technology we have, you seem to be saying that we do the research and development, but we don't actually deploy. But China
Right.
is deploying with our research and development. So basically, we're putting in all the upfront costs, and they are benefiting that by then actually deploying. Is that a fair way of looking at it? And if so, okay.
You've hit it exactly. That's precisely what has been happening for decades. And in one of the articles at the last word at the end of the issue of the magazine, I concentrate on showing how this did not begin with our transfer of technology to China. It actually is a continuation of what we did with building up the Soviet Union. And in there, I refer particularly to Professor Anthony Sutton of the Hoover Institution at Stanford University and his monumental works on Soviet technology. He had a trilogy, a 1,000-page trilogy, three books called Western Technology and Soviet Economic Development. And he goes from the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917 through Lenin's new economic policy, then on up through Stalin and clear on up to the 1970s. And he shows how every single major weapon system of the Soviet Union, from their fighters and their bombers and their tanks and their warships and their submarines, their avionics, their radar, etc., were all either carbon copies or actually of U.S. technology. Many of them were actually built by U.S. companies that took American machinery and everything over there and set them up for them. Or they were based on designs which our companies gave to them, from the hulls and propulsion systems to the steel making, etc. And so we give a little bit of detail of that in there. And so this is the astounding thing that we have seen a continuity of these treasonous and suicidal policies go on for decade after decade in administration after administration, Republican and Democrat. And the connecting point that we focus on, because it is the group that has given the continuity to this, is the Council on Foreign Relations and their key individuals that they have placed into all of these administrations for most of this past century to continue policies, not only in this area of helping our enemy with transfer of technology and money and funds, and as one of our articles in this one shows, brains, the brain trust, because we have educated here in the United States several million Chinese scientists, engineers, etc., over the last 30, 40 years. As we point out, the father of the founding fathers of their space program were trained at MIT and Georgia Tech and Caltech and Harvard. And many of their top scientists and administrators and engineers today are trained at these universities. And so the American taxpayers are again paying for this. And this was with China has gone on even far greater than what we saw during the Cold War with the continued U.S. training and transfer of technology to the Soviet Union.
One more question, Bill. You've referred to these policies as being suicidal. You referred to it as being national suicide. These policies are being carried out by the deep state and the Council on Foreign Relations. Why are we doing it? What are they trying to accomplish?
Well, good question, because this just seems incomprehensible to the average man on the street. Why would our leaders do something so obviously contrary to all of our best interests? As we've been pointing out for a number of decades now, all of these policies, both from what we can observe, the contours and evidence that are on the ground and what we see happening around us, as well as in their own speeches, meaning the globalist deep state actors of the Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission. When you go to their own statements in their forums and in their publications, they say they want to build a new world order, a different world order from what we're in now, one in which the nation state no longer exists, or if it does, the nation state is simply a subunit in a world government. And in order to do that, they have to raise up adversaries that are going to be believable in terms of challenging the United States. The United States, because of all of its technological wonders and its wealth due to the free market system, had to be suppressed. So putting more and more regulations and trying every way possible to destroy the productivity of the United States, destroy our energy sources, destroy our manufacturing base, our technology base, transfer it to Russia and China, so that in the end, in order to avoid world war, we'll all have to go together in world government.
Controlled by the very insiders
who have been carrying out these
suicidal policies. Well, thank you very much, Bill. We're so happy to have you today.
Thank you, Gary.
To see the December 13, 2021 issue of the New American Magazine and William F. Jasper's extraordinary article, China's Tech War, see the description below this video. Thank you.